This is the night we're going to have share time. My brother Mark Shelley's going to take over at this time to moderate that, but if I can take just a minute. The last two songs we sang, The Wonder of It All. Have you ever stopped to think where you would be today if you were not saved? And the wonder of it all that he would reach down for someone like me. It's hard to understand, but yet he loved me. He died for me. And I love him. And then because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can face whatever's coming forward tomorrow. I have no idea what happens tomorrow. I know I spend a lot of time driving on the highway. And when you drive down the highway, you're kind of taking your life in your own hands. But God is there. He's protecting us, watching over us. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Thank you, Bill. That's a great start to our share time. He wanted to make sure he got an opportunity to share because he knows you brothers are going to be jumping up and taking all the time. See, he's got a lot of faith, and I would appreciate Bill sharing that. But, you know, I really look forward to these open share times. It just makes me, and I don't know what it was like back in the early church, but it just makes me think it must have been something like this. They didn't have their own copies of the Word of God. But they did have the opportunity to hear the Word of God and then to respond to that. And I believe that one of the things they did when they came together was similar to how we do at the Lord's Supper, have an open time for the brothers to share. And in that meeting, we're focusing on remembering the Lord Jesus and meditating on Him. And now we have an opportunity to do somewhat the same, but to do it for edification and instruction and rebuke and encouragement, focusing toward one another. At the Lord's Supper, we're focusing on Christ. And we come here, and now we have an opportunity to share with each other. So we're looking forward to what the Lord may have already led you as a brother to share tonight. Or maybe even as some other brother is sharing, the Lord will bring something to your mind. We try to encourage folks to keep it to 5 minutes or less, that you don't have to get anywhere near 5 minutes. You can stand up and read a verse and sit back down if you want to. That's fine too. We don't have any limitations on the short end, and we want to encourage the brothers to do that, to share a verse, share a thought about that verse, share a passage. If the Lord's been working in your life, brought something to your mind, to your heart recently or many years ago, maybe a word of testimony about how He is working in your life. But so we want to open it up and give you the opportunity, excuse me, to do that. We have 40 minutes. We have a good number of brothers here tonight, for which we're very thankful, and we want to just open this time up. And Jonathan has a microphone, and he's going to bring it to you, and we would encourage you, wait till Jonathan gets to you, take the microphone. If you are going to read a verse, if you could tell us what the verse is and give us time to get to the verse, and we'd like to follow along with you, that would be great, and then share whatever the Lord has put on your heart. And so we're excited about what he's going to share with us tonight. And so we'll start out, and Bill's already got us started. Usually getting the first person is the hardest thing, and we've already done that. So the first person's already gone. So who will go next? Just raise your hand, and we'll okay, right up here, Dave Lewis is gonna keep it going for us. So see what the Lord has laid on Dave's heart.
Kind of going along with what Bill started in the first Psalm. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. And it's been on my heart, and those that my son won, went to the ball game the other night, and he spent 4 hours telling me that he had friends that professed to be saved, except Christ. And there was no difference in their life. And this is what this first one speaks to my heart about. It. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I had a pastor tell me years ago, we were talking to him about our friends, as we had been associates with people before we were saved. And he said, "Don't worry about it, David." He said, "You live your Christian life, and the first thing you know, they'll either be with you or they're gone." And that's the way I see. Do not stand in anybody's way. Okay, verse. Nor stand in the path of the sinner. And surely this is not something we want to do in the way that we live. We do not want to lead someone astray by the way we're living. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And surely it is to be able to, as I'm retired now, just to sit and study and meditate on the Lord's word. It blesses your heart. And if you haven't tried it, please do. In the last part of this, the verse, "And in the law he meditates day and night." The word meditate means to ponder or to talk to yourself about it. So you want to be careful when you're talking to yourself. Someone might think you've gone off the deep end. "He shall be like a tree." Margaret had this as part of her devotion yesterday for the women and young and older women that got together. "He is like a tree planted by the river water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth will prosper." We were talking about it, Morgan and I were, that a tree that's planted by water is most likely going to have good soil to start with, and it should never like for the water, which is a life-giving thing for them. And so is the water of life, a life-giving thing to us. And then the promise in the last part of that, "Whatsoever he doeth will prosper." And I was, and down at the end of this psalm, he's talking about the evil and the evil person or the ungodly person. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." I was thinking about this, and I remember one time when I was just a young person, we had a thrashing machine. Most wheat was done with a combiner, but for some reason we had a thrashing machine. And the day was real calm, and there was a plume of chaff that went out of sight straight up, worth nothing, not to anybody. Chaff is not. I guess that's all I had to say. Anyway, it's such a privilege to be able to share things that the Lord lays on your heart with you. And I love all of you.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate those thoughts from Psalm 1. Blessed man and the ungodly man. Okay, Tico?
I thought I'd make it easy while the mic was still here. I'd like to echo what Bill was saying. I have a verse I was thinking along those very same lines. And it's just a mystery. You know, how God reaches down and selects the people. And Susan and I, excuse me, just spent some time with an old friend of mine down in Florida. And he's not saved. She was born a Jew, and she's since converted. She calls herself a completed Jew. I'm not going to judge her, but I'm not sure if she really gets it or not, but my friend will tell you that he's not there. But these two people are good people, and they were fun to be with, and we had a good time with them. And if you just met them on the surface, you would think, wow, these are really, really nice, good people. But they don't get it. And the verse that I was ready to share that Bill really brought to mind. It's in Ruth 2, verse 10. And this is one of my favorite verses. It says, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?'" And this couple that we stayed with, these friends of ours, that's what the majority of the people out there are. People are basically good people. Some people have problems, but people are basically good people. But the majority of the people don't get it. You start talking to them about spiritual things, and it's like they want to change the subject to something else, or they're looking away, or whatever it might be. And I came from almost the same roots as my buddy and other buddies. But for some reason, God reached down and tapped me on the shoulder. And it just blows me away. And this verse, it says, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you to take notice of me?" And I'd just like to echo again what Bill said, because it just blows me away how I could have been one of the ones that, you know, he reached down and touched. And I just thank God for that tonight.
Thank you, Tico. Grace of God. Thankful we are for that. Ron, right across the aisle here, to keeping you down in front. It's good.
I was trying to look up a verse, but I believe the Holy Spirit was leading me to something that happened yesterday. Why, and our neighborhood is not a huge neighborhood, but I don't know why people like to come out in the country and drop Jehovah's Witness out in our few houses. But that's fantastic, because I love to talk to them. And yesterday, I went out. We got four dogs, and of course, I had to take them out, and they were running all over the front yard. And his car pulls up, and there was a young lady and an older lady with them. And I thought to myself, I know who you are. That's okay. So they came up, and they were very, very cordial, admiring the dogs and all, and, of course, kind of looking at one of them to see, does it bite or anything? And I said, I'm not going to say it won't, but it hasn't. But anyway, they have really escalated now. They used to have a Bible, and they used to thumb through their Bible and extract things that they were taught. Now they have tablets or iPads, and they have videos and all. But this the young lady had her literature, and she went to Revelation, and she had a nice portrayal of the horses, and I was courteous enough to listen to what she had to say. And then I interrupted, and I said, "Are you a Jehovah's Witness?" "Oh, yes. Yes, I sure am." I said, "Well, you know what I am? I am a born-again Christian. I know exactly when I recognized the fact that I was unfit for a holy and sovereign God whose residence was heaven. I knew I could never do anything on this earth to warrant or merit being there. But God knew who I was, and he loved me. And he sent his Son, God in flesh. And he died for me. He took every single sin that I had done in the past, present, and what I will do in the future. All I had to do was one thing: reach out and say, 'I believe and I want it. Please come in.' Well, it was like it went over their head. But I shared it with them. And the older lady, I guess she recognized, well, this is a little bit more. I need to step in here. And she said, oh, yes, Jesus was a good man. I said, no, ma'am, he wasn't a good man. He was God in flesh. He was perfect. And he took my place. And now I know that if I were to take my last breath right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. But I said, I respect you for what you believe. I don't agree with it, but I respect you. And I'm going to pray for you too.
Amen. Thank you. That testimony of taking that opportunity to share the gospel very clearly. We pray for them. Jack? You need to move up front if you want to get a chance to say anything. So.
I had a verse that came to mind this morning as we were in Hebrews in a worship meeting. And chapter 9, verse 27. It's a familiar verse that is often used in the gospel. And as it is, in verse 27, it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And as I was reading that verse, it hit me, the fact that, you know, yeah, we're going to die one day, and if the Lord doesn't return first, we don't know how or we don't know at the point of time that it'll happen, when, but we know that there's an appointed time. The Word of God is true and sure to let us know that. But just as much as we are going to die, and there's a day we're going to die, there's also, we can be assured that Christ suffered once. He offered himself. He offered himself to bear our sins of the whole world. You know, we can be sure of that. We sang in a song this morning, our divine surety. He is the true, true one to take away our sins, to bear, he bore our sins there on the tree. And just as sure as it's appointed unto men once to die, Christ also offered to bear our sins. He was the great high priest who offered himself. We see here he did it once. He came into the world one time. Once in the end of the world hath he appeared, it says in verse 26, I can't read, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. But also in that same verse, and I look at the whole book of Hebrews as promises. We just see so many treasures, nuggets of promises that we have in Christ. You see here, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And we're going to see him as he is. Whether we die before he returns, or whether we're here, still here on earth when he does return, we have a promise that he's going to appear. We have a promise that he bore our sins. He offered himself up once to take all our sins away. And then one, he's going to appear again without sin. Unto salvation. We're going to be made as complete. We're going to have redeemed bodies before him and appear before him without sin. As it was mentioned, our tears will be wiped away. There will be no more sickness, no more medicines or things that we have to take for pain, as our brother Dave was mentioning. It's all going to go away. We're going to see him, and we're going to be complete in him as redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I think of that. And we look at death as just a passageway. It's a mystery. Death is in itself to the human heart and the human mind is a mystery because we've never faced it. We've never went through it. We don't know what it's like. And there's often fear put in our minds when we think of death. But we know that death is just a passage to a place where we see our Savior and we're with our Savior. To know that He is there, He is ready to meet us. And I think of, hallelujah, what a Savior. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Yeah, to the unsaved, there is fear. There is fear because there's no, as it's saying right here, once you die, there's nothing else. The judgment's coming next. And we don't have anything else to face except that. And if you're without Christ, there's judgment as far as judgment for your sins. And I think of how we have a wonderful Savior that offered Himself once to bear the sins of the whole world, but the sins of my sins, your sins. What a lovely Savior.
Amen. It's wonderful to be able to be sure we're on the confidence of God's Word. Okay, Jonathan, you got to go all the way to the back. Bruce back there. So you've been lazy long enough.
I'm studying this passage for a sermon, but God's been hitting me with it very strongly. It's found in Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31. Jesus answered him, first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. On the way home today, as I was headed back, McGee was speaking on this passage also. He pointed out that this passage, as you know, came from Deuteronomy. The one book that Jesus quotes more than any other book in the Old Testament. And he pointed out that it's interesting, Jesus did not go to the Ten Commandments when it came to this. He came to this phraseology. And he also said that Deuteronomy is the passage where God starts professing the fact that God loves man. Go to Genesis, God demonstrates it, but he doesn't say it. Go to Leviticus, it's not there. Go to Numbers. It's in Deuteronomy where God first tells about how he loves mankind and he cares about them verbally. And in relationship to this fact, what you find is this passage here is the Shema. What that was is every day in the morning, a Jew would get up and he would say these words as his motto of what he was supposed to live by. Just like we say, pledge allegiance to the flag or the Christian flag of the Bible. Well, that's what the Jew would do. And also when they started in the temple, every morning they would say the Shema. And every night when they finished, they'd say the Shema. That was the driving force of their life. Supposedly, sad to say, if you look at this passage, you'll find that this is what ties this whole passage together of chapter 12. Because they said it, but they didn't live it. Instead, they were more interested in themselves and glorifying themselves instead of glorifying God. It's seen and it's described in the vineyard. It's tested when they came and talked to Jesus. They were testing Jesus, but actually their actions tested them. And where they really were, where they tried to trip Jesus up and cause him to look like a fool in front of the people or have him arrested, that's what they wanted to do. And finally, it's seen in the scribe. When Jesus, in the scribe, finishes, he admits, yeah, Lord, you got it, hit it right on the nail. Jesus says, you're not far from the kingdom. In other words, take another step. Because if he thought about it, he realized he didn't measure up. In fact, I think that's the reason why nobody asked him any more questions. Why all of a sudden they came under conviction, realizing that they were not doing what God said. I'm reading a book, and this relates to it. It's called False Gods. And the author points out that anything that takes the first place of God, and unknowingly we have to constantly examine our hearts, because all of a sudden we can find something that's more important to us than God himself. Anything. It can be living for enjoying the world that we live in. It can be sports. But anything that takes the place of God, guess what? That's a false god. And understand this. The word love is an action word. It's not a noun. It's an action word. It's something that we do. And in relationship to that fact, it's supposed to be that we put God first and we live our lives accordingly towards him. What's interesting to me, and what really got me, as I saw the pieces filling together in chapter 12, we come to the person who really did have true love for God. It's this little lady. Says Jesus sat over against the treasury, beheld how the people cast the money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain widow, and she threw into two mites, which makes a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than all they which have cast in the treasury, for all they did is cast in their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. That lady was the real thing when it came to spirituality. Now, according to the Pharisees and according to the religious leaders, they felt that they were the real thing, that they were devoted to God. And they wanted all the people to know that. And they looked down on this lady because she was poor, because she was a widow, and because she didn't have very much money. And they thought she was the dregs of the street. In fact, they felt they didn't feel that God had any blessing for her, or was gracious to her, or loved her, or that she loved God because of her situation in life. In fact, widows were preyed upon by the leadership. But Jesus says, look, this lady is the spiritual one. This lady is the one who's got it all together, where the leaders did not. And myself, as I looked at it and I thought of all the knowledge I have and everything like that, it really cuts it down to saying, look, God's interested in the heart attitude, not the knowledge. God's interested in the dedication. And God's interested in trying to please him personally. Understand, realize this lady went to the temple, and the temple was taking advantage of her, as Jesus pointed out before this. This lady wanted to worship God and devote her life to God. And that's just what she did. When she left, she had no money in her hand. She had to trust God to take care of her for the rest of the week or whenever she was going to get paid again, because she had nothing. And yet she trusted God, she loved God, and she wanted to show her love to God personally and privately. Nobody knew she did it except Jesus knew. He knew her heart. And the same with us. God knows our heart. And we need to realize this, that God expects us to love him with all our heart, and not just say it, but show it.
Bruce, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. Todd?
Keep Jonathan close back here. Got a couple of things. As many of you know, Cindy and I became empty nesters this past weekend. And if that's not enough, I could just thank the Lord for that. We don't have to feed Patrick anymore. He's gone. But over the course of that, it caused me to think about a lot of things. From the wedding ceremony. And it took me to a passage of Scripture that's real familiar. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that he should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love your own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. And from this, there were some things that really spoke to me. I mean, first and foremost, it's a real challenge of how we're to love our own wives. And I confess, I fall short. But also, you think about some of the things that we've heard tonight. We've heard about God reaching down to us, His grace. We've heard about our surety that we have in Him. We've heard about the love that He has. And you look at this, and it says, He loved the church and gave Himself for her. You know, that's what made it possible for us to have that relationship with God, that His Son gave Himself for us. And then we go a little further, and we see that He didn't stop there, but He's presenting us to the Father as spotless and blameless. And I think about myself, and that's not me. I'm not spotless. I'm not blameless. But because of Christ's work, I am to the Father. And then you go down to verse 29, and it's a very practical verse. It says, you know, we ought to love our wives as we love ourselves. You know, he who nourishes and cherishes it, you know, that's what we do to our own selves, our own bodies. But it also says that's what the Lord does to us. He didn't just die for us. He nourishes us. He cherishes us. So we have so much to be thankful for. For the Father who did this for us, who sent His Son. For the Son who willingly presents us back to the Father as a spotless gift. And we also have a challenge that we're to display that same kind of love in our homes.
Amen. Thank you, Todd. A privilege to be part of the bride of Christ. Joe, up front here.
I read from a New King James Bible, but it's Charles Stanley Bible. In the beginning of each chapter, he has these little, I call them tidbits, giving you an entrance to the chapter itself. And some of them are so great, they're just, I write them down. I sent 15 of them to a fellow I had mentored in prison, and he said he tacked them up on his wall. You know, remind them, but they're very good. I'd like to read a couple of them. We stand tallest and strongest on our knees. Trusting God means looking beyond what we see to what God sees. Adversity is a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. Disappointments are inevitable. Discouragement is a choice. Brokenness is God's requirement for maximum use. We learn more on our valley experiences than in our mountaintop experiences. Finally, the dark moments of our life will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish His purpose in us. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you sharing those thoughts. Stand tallest on our knees, broken for maximum use. Good. Carl, over here.
Just like to talk a little bit about the idea of the contrast that we find in Scripture. Bill opened up with the word wonder, and that kind of started me thinking. What I want to talk about is the, you know, where we can get stuck and where we need to open up. Most of you have little children around the house, or maybe grandkids or great-grandkids, and you know a lot more than they do. And it doesn't take very much to wow them, to get them really thinking. And you can say things that they'll go, wow. You know, you really know a lot. That's really neat. But then, you know, we read in Hebrews where Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is something that we can think of and quite often get into the trap of sameness. With sameness kind of puts us into a rut. And sometimes it's hard to climb out of the rut. But you read in Lamentations, where it talks about the mercies of the Lord, they are new every morning. That word new, you know, I've looked it up before, and it means new. Something new. Brand new. Brand spanking new. Right out of the box. Never seen it before. New every morning. And so you think of the wonder that God has in store for us. Prophet Zacharias was talking about this once a few weeks ago, and he said, when you worship an infinite God, you are dealing in an area of perpetual novelty. When you worship an infinite God, you're dealing in an area of perpetual novelty. Now, if you're here Sunday night, yeah, remember my picture of an iceberg. Sometimes we get very, very comfortable with the tip of that iceberg, and we like to stay there. But there is so much more. There's so much more that's new that we have never seen before. But it takes time to get down there and see what it is. And you can start with the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God. Just the word God should spark wonder in the mind of every Christian. You know, wonder. What has God done? What will God do that I don't even know about? Just, you know, the first thing he created, you know, that's after he did the heavens and the earth, were plants. You just think of plants. Now there's spinach, cauliflower, lettuce, peppers, green peppers, red peppers, jalapeno peppers. Then you get into the good stuff, serrano peppers, cayennes, habaneros. You know, those are real eye-openers. You know, God has some real eye-openers that we haven't even tried yet. Now we ought to look for those. What does God have in store for me that's a real eye-opener that I don't even know anything about yet? And I'll start with that first verse. In the beginning, God. And I go through all of Scripture, and I'm constantly looking for something new. Something new that he has there. Not a fresh new human idea, but something he's already written down that I haven't recognized before. But his mercies are new every morning. God knows so much more than us. Just like an adult with a child. You know, he knows so much more than we do. Anything he says should be a wow moment for every Christian. So we ought to just look for those. Look for those. Write them down. Think about them. And have them to share with somebody. What does God do new for you every morning? Something that you've never known about before.
Amen. Every day exciting. What's the Lord going to show us today? Anyone else? Got a few more minutes, about 5 minutes left. So anybody else like to share something? Yes, Dave.
It's Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. It's a verse that I've thought about off and on for many, many years, but recently I've just thought about it more. It says, but the path of the just is like the shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. And surrounding this particular verse, both before and after, it speaks of the wicked. The wicked is like the darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. But the path of the just being like the shining sun, or light, says sun, that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. And, you know, I liken that to my life, and I think many of us as believers, hopefully the vast majority of us, the longer we live, the more we see this, the truth of this work, this verse worked out in our own lives. And talking about the sun, you know, at midnight, when the sun is on the other side of the planet, things are pretty dark. But if you live in an area where there aren't too many trees, aren't many of those here in North Carolina, but I love trees, so that's not a problem. But if you live in an area where you can see the horizon fairly clearly, just as dawn begins to arrive, you begin to see some light over there. You still can't see very much when you look around. There isn't enough light. But an hour later, you can see a lot more. And then the sun actually breaks above the horizon, and you see this giant ball, and it's going up in the sky. And the more it rises, the more you can see, the more detail you can see. And when it gets up at noontime, and it's way up there, boy, you sure don't need a flashlight. Everything is bright and crystal clear. And I think that's what this verse is saying, that our lives are like as believers. You know, we go through all kinds of experiences in life, but as we walk through life and as we live and see the evidence of the Lord in our lives and in all of those things that touch our lives, recognize the hand of God. Good things, beautiful things, lovely things that bring just pleasure and delight to our hearts, but also the difficult things. And we all go through experiences that we certainly would avoid if we possibly could. But when we begin to understand that the Lord is allowing, if not bringing, those things into our lives to accomplish His purpose in us, it begins to make a real difference. And you know, over time, a confidence begins to grow because we know the Lord. We know His purposes are good. We know that He loves us. We know that He's for us. And we know that He's molding us into the people that He wants us to be. And in spite of difficulty and adversity, there's a tremendous sense of peace. We're not going through life as, you know, aimless wanderers. There's direction in it, and the Lord is directing it. And, you know, again, I've just over the years appreciated this verse more and more. The path of the just is like the shining light that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. And there's a day coming, brothers and sisters, maybe close, may not be, I don't know, you don't know, but there's a day coming when we're going to leave this earth and we're going to be with the Lord Jesus in heaven. And believe me, things are going to be real, real bright and real, real clear. And we'll see things the way we've never seen them before. And I believe that we'll be able to look back in life and look at experiences that we went through and just see God's hand in a clearer way through all of that than we can now. But it's just good to recognize the hand of God in our lives in every situation. And again, to know Him and to see things clearer as we move along. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day.
Amen. Thank you, Dave. An encouragement. It may be dark right now in your life, but sunrise has come, and watch for that. Okay, if anybody's got something they can do in about a minute, we'll invite you to share quickly if you'd like to. Anybody? Okay, all right, well, let's close in prayer. Thank you for being here, and I hope that you've been encouraged as much as I have, or even partly as much as I have. Thank you, brothers, for being exercised and being in the Word and sharing that with us, the ones of you who we're led to do that tonight. Let's take these things and seek to meditate on them. We heard about meditating from Psalm 1, talking to ourselves. These are some good things to talk to ourselves about. So let's try to do that. Let's close in prayer. Father, it's been a blessing to be out here tonight. Lord, thank you for how we can encourage one another, edify one another, fellowship with one another, show our love to one another by gathering in this manner. And thank you, Father, for the things that we have heard from your word tonight. Thank you for these verses, these thoughts. Thank you, Father, for stirring the hearts of these brothers and stirring our hearts as they have shared with us. Father, we pray that you would remind us not to just be hearers of the word. Father, we've enjoyed hearing your word tonight, but Lord, we don't want to deceive ourselves and walk away and forget what we've heard, forget what we've seen about you.
about ourselves, about others. And so, Father, we pray that you'll bring these things back to our minds and help us to be active in meditating on these things, looking for ways to apply these truths, these encouragements, these exhortations into our lives individually. Father, we're leaving this place of gathering and we're going back into the world. Lord, we pray that you will guide us, and just in your grace, by your Holy Spirit, you would bring at least one of these thoughts back to our minds. Lord, something we need that we can apply as we go back into the world. And Father, as we seek to be that shining light that you would have us to be, Father, may others look at us. May they observe the way we live. May they hear what we say. And Father, might they ask us a reason for the hope that's in us. And Father, may we be ready to answer them with gentleness and fear. So Father, we just praise you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that he loved us and gave himself for us. Thank you for raising him from the dead and for sending God the Holy Spirit to live within us. So, Father, we pray your hand of blessing upon each one gathered here tonight. If there are any here who don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior, we pray that what they've heard will stir up their minds to want to know more. And, Father, for those of us who do know you, we pray that we'll be stirred, Father, into action. So thank you so much for the Scriptures. Help each of us to be in your Word each day. And Father, we pray that we'll see the Lord Jesus there. And we pray in his name. Amen. Thank you for being here. I pray that you'll be encouraged. Enjoy your fellowship.